At least we have Dr. Jim Stimson, who is here. He is the director of the Center for Health Policy. He's an associate professor and the graduate program director in the Department of Health Services Research and Administration at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. And he's going to, unlike previous presentations where we've seen the breadth in terms of what's going on across different jurisdictions, here we're going to see more of a focus case study looking at distracted driving, specifically in California. So, all yours.
Hello, thank you. So we're specifically looking at distracted driving in California, and they passed a whole mess of policies all at once, making it wonderfully complex to examine. I want to acknowledge the co-author, or really the principal author of this piece. I'm really presenting on his behalf, and he's the PI of the Robert Wood Johnson Public Health Law Program grant, for which provided funding. This is a residual of him. I hate those. So state policies on distracted driving vary really substantially in scope and enforcement. The maximum fines can range from $25 to thousands of dollars. And there's also a range in primary versus secondary enforcement, whether you can be pulled over for distracted driving or for visibly using your cell phone or texting versus being pulled over for something else and then, oh, you were on your cell phone too. We'll give you a ticket. We'll add on a ticket. So the evidence is a little mixed on distracted driving laws. There's been a couple of evaluations. Texting while driving dropped 72% in Hartford and 32% in Syracuse, New York. But also there was a second study that found that over time, much like as the case with many laws, that it dissipated over time. The ban in New York, they banned handheld cell phone use, and it had an initial impact, certainly a minute, and over time it kind of dissipated. So young drivers are an especially high-risk age group for driving crashes, for crashing into people, and distraction obviously makes us worse, so they're they're a population that's the most kind of egregious violator of this. And then, so we looked, our objective was, did a ban on electronic device use for novice drivers in 2008 for California reduce distracted driving crashes? And then also, did the universal bans on handheld cell phone use and texting in 2008 and 2009 reduce crashes? So California banned any electronic use by teen drivers in July 1st, 2008, via secondary enforcement and a very small fine. So this is any electronic device use, not just cell phone and texting, but GPS, iPod, etc. It was, a clear determination. Luckily for us, so that we got the chance to wrestle with this analytic complexity, they also at the same time banned handheld cell phone use for all drivers. At that same time, and this was via primary enforcement. So having a handheld cell phone use, if they saw you with your cell phone at your head, then they could pull you over just for that pure reason. And then year later, they instituted a ban on texting in 2009, and that was also primary enforcement. So if they saw you texting, then they could pull you over for that. I'm going to strangle him when I get back. I hate that. so I fixed that. So California has, there's a national database called FARS, which is wonderful, but California has exceeds that in many ways for crash data. They have detailed information on every crash reported to state and local authorities in California. And unlike the FARS, which is really which is wonderful in the sense that it is a census of all fatal, in which there was a fatal crash within 30 days in all public roads in the United States. This goes a step further in showing not just fatal crashes, but also injuries and property damage crashes, in which there was just property damage. So all crashes, essentially. This is wonderful. They have the data, have a lot of variables, date of crash, number of injuries and fatalities, driver characteristics, including age and race, ethnicity. They have the GIS coordinates, much like FARS, of the specific crash location, so you can do some wonderful spatial analysis. So a little bit alluding to some of the other earlier presenters, you know, in an ideal empirical world, we have an outcome on one side and time on the other. We have some intervention, and then we look at the difference and say, was it effective or not? And in reality, using crash data to measure impact looks like this. This is time, and this is number of crashes on the y-axis, and then it follows this wonderfully not at all patterned response. And then what we see here is the in 2008, the handheld band, and the 2009, the texting band. So from this, was it effective? Well, you have to do something a little bit more complex. So this is just another descriptive view of it, where we have what I'm showing here is 2002 is at the far right. We're just kind of showing that as the baseline year, and all of this is showing whether the we should see a percent increase or decrease in deaths and injuries among just this population, just among at-fault 16 to 17-year-old drivers. And see, at 2008, the big bar, there was a big decrease. And this isn't the indicator whether it was effective. We're just looking at this descriptively. But you also see that there was a decrease prior to the ban anyway. So the question is, when you average out that natural decrease that's happening anyway, was the ban in and of itself going to be effective? We can kind of see that it probably is going to be, but you have to use time series ARIMA models to basically splice out the autocorrelation across time and to determine whether net of this natural decrease, net of some of the other factors that are operating on crashes, you can kind of create a predicted line of how many would have happened if there had been no ban, and then the blue line here is showing the actual number that happened over this time period. And so the y-axis here is the number of crashes. And so this is just looking specifically at the novice driver ban, and this is specifically just looking at this specific population of 16 to 17-year-old drivers, the novice drivers. So we're kind of taking out the adults at the moment. And yes, the predicted number would have been higher after we, you know, use this kind of complex kind of methodology to see whether this pattern would hold. And so among 16 to 17-year-olds, the ban on electronic device use for novice drivers reduced crashes by 19%, injuries by 17%, and deaths by 34%. And the ban was effective despite it being a secondary enforcement rather than primary, and that the fines ranged from $20 to $50, which is very small nationally, but also even when you compare it to neighboring Oregon, which is in the hundreds of dollars. So just to kind of look at this specific one first, the policy implication here, kind of young drivers are responsive to policies limiting distracted driving, even when there are very modest penalties for infractions. And we're speculating here some hypotheses to kind of dig deeper into understanding why it was effective. So this would be kind of a next step. And this is probably by no means probably a comprehensive list, but for sure we know that the financial burden of fines and higher insurance premiums are proportionally greater for teens compared to adults. There may be a role of parents and punishment at home. Maybe they fear the punishment they're going to get at home more than the ticket or the fine. Or at least it's a double whammy role. And then the knowledge is a little bit more easier to disseminate about this policy because they're undergoing formal education training at that time, unlike, you know, adults. That might be another mechanism. So the second part is the adult, the handheld ban on cell phone use. And here we used a difference-in-difference approach. So you basically use some other cases or similar states in this case, which is Texas and Florida for California in comparison. You do this kind of the same thing, but it's basically saying the difference for the handheld use relative to the overall difference that you're observing that is being driven by many other factors. And a very similar finding, without the cell phone restriction, the number of crashes, this is the crash rate, we're showing here that it would have been higher than what was observed. And I can give a little bit more detail on the complexity of that kind of analysis. But what we found was the ban on handheld use for all drivers reduced crashes by 10% for injuries for 10% and 7.8% for deaths. So this is a much more modest effect than was found in some of the earlier studies, like in Hartford and Syracuse. But then this is also, we're using difference in difference and Riemann. Those kind of other studies were a little bit more descriptive. Not really showing a graphic here, but the texting ban. We found the 2009 texting ban was not statistically significant. Whether we use difference in difference or ARIMA, it didn't matter. The p-value was 0.45. And so the universal ban on handheld cell phone use for adults among adults was effective, but the texting ban, we're just speculating here, may have been redundant in its impact. They're already kind of banning, had already kind of gotten the message that they're not supposed to have their cell phones in use anyway. Also, I'd say it's kind of a confusing message. You don't have your cell phone up, don't be texting, but you could do something else with your electronic device. I mean, essentially, that's what the policy is communicating. So who knows what, that's the next step is to try to get a little bit deeper into that. But the strictest policy option, just to be clear, would be a universal ban, much like the novice driver, which is a universal ban of all electronic devices, but also with primary enforcement. The other caveat here is, though, even though we found that the cell phone, handheld cell phone ban was effective for adults, the ban, what we learned from New York is that, the long-term impact for California is unclear. It most likely will dissipate over time.